better way to get better at football than playing football. So, like, you know.
Taylor's going to finish it!
I've always been confident in my abilities. I think, you know, I'm a guy that can go out there, and I always believe in myself that I'm going to get open and make the play if they throw me the ball.
The third. Ryan, end zone shot for Pierce. He caught it! Oh, what a play!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Colts Cast. We are here to talk about everything and anything Indianapolis Colts. My name is Eric Smith, co-host of the Colts Cast. Alongside me, as always, I have co-host Jamal Lawrence here.
Yo, yo, yo.
Please be sure to follow us on social media. Twitter handle is at the Colts Cast. Instagram is at Colts Cast. We got our YouTube up. Go check us out on there. 1080p, baby.
Let's get it.
We're live. We're live. We are excited to announce that we have joined the Pigskin Podcast Network, a network dedicated to college and pro football. We're still going to be delivering you guys, you know, the prime Indianapolis Colts content the way we want it. So it's going to be great, but we've officially partnered with them. So it's been a ride. It's been fun. But let's talk about some Colts. The Indianapolis Colts are in the midst of a grand search to find their next head coach. They've been very busy in that effort. We've interviewed about 7 candidates so far. I don't think we're including Jeff Saturday in there. Jamal, who do you want to start out with?
Oh, man, oh, man.
It's been a lot.
It has been a lot. I mean, it's like hotcakes, man. Every time I turn my head, we've interviewed this person. We've interviewed this person. So let's just start with Aaron Glenn, defense coordinator from the Lions. I don't have a lot to say about him. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of these coaches I don't have a whole lot to say about because I don't really know any of them. I feel like this is one of the first years where, and again, I know I'm just a little more biased because we haven't had to have a coach in 5 years, but I'm actually paying attention to names. And I'm like, man, none of these names really ring a bell. Usually you always hear about one or two, like, you know, decent coaches, or I shouldn't say decent coaches, but well-known coaches who are trying to get back into the game. But Aaron Glenn, defense coordinator for the Detroit Lions. The only thing I'd say about him is not positive. So,
yeah,
their defense ranked dead last in the NFL this year, giving up 392 yards a game. That's not what I want. That's pretty much all I got to say about that. It's 100% not
there's
what I want.
There's not much to like here. He's a defensive backs coach for a few other teams, but yeah, he's struggled with the Lions so far. Over the last 2 years, especially this year, like a lot of just daily fantasy football enthusiasts, they specifically target Lions games because they know that opposing team, whoever they're playing, is going to rack up some points, going to rack up some yards, going to rack up some touchdowns for them. They're giving up, you know, 25.1 points per game. That's bottom five in the NFL. Not great. It's bad. I don't want to blame, you know, it all on Aaron Glenn. I feel like they don't have a lot of talent on that side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Okuda, he's still trying to find his way. They drafted him like top three, I think, a few years ago. They just drafted Aiden Hutchinson. He's played well, you know, for his rookie season. But they get smoked by mobile quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, just anybody with some top tier mobility. They get smoked by. I'm not really enthusiastic with the idea of hiring him. But like I've said before, anyone's better than Jeff Saturday. let's move on to Raheem Morris.
DC for the Rams?
DC for the Rams. He's been there for 2 years, which means he was there when the Rams won the Super Bowl a year ago, coordinating that phenomenal defense.
Mm-hmm.
He also won one with Tampa Bay in the 2002 season. Think back with John Gruden. He was part of that defensive staff. He's been around. He's got a lot of experience in different roles, mainly defensive backs. That's good. But he's worked with wide receivers with the Falcons. He's been an assistant head coach, pass game coordinator, even head coach. A short stint with Tampa Bay. Didn't go that well, but what that really means to us is he has a lot of experience on both sides of the ball. What really sticks out to me is that defense from 2021. You know, he did have a cheat code in Aaron Donald to work with. We don't have an Aaron Donald. I mean, we have a DeForest Buckner. He's up there. You know, you could argue same tier, but Aaron Donald, different type of monster. Those boys were pressuring quarterbacks at a crazy rate. He also had Jalen Ramsey, one of the best corners in 2021, believe it or not. I know there's a lot of Ramsey haters, but Jalen Ramsey he's a different beast at that cornerback position, especially with his physique and just all around physical nature. Defense was solid in 2021. Felt like they took a step back this year, especially in the sack department. I think Aaron Donald missing 6 games with injuries probably says a lot to that, puts a damper on that total. But Raheem Morris, I want to be honest real quick, you know, before we start talking about, you know, him and the rest of the candidates. Like, we were talking about it earlier, we want an offensive minded coach. We've been talking about this, but I don't think there's any, you know, I don't know if there's any true evidence that you have to have one to be successful in the NFL. You know, I won't be mad if we hire a defensive coordinator. I'll be happy if it's the right one or a defensive minded coach. You know, there's been plenty of successful geniuses with the defensive mind. We're talking Bill Belichick, arguably the best head coach of all time. Bill Parcells, Bill Cowher, a lot of Bills, Vic Fangio, you know, defensive consultant now for the Eagles. Despite what you think about Tony Dungy, he was a defensive minded coach. You know, I just want to preface all that to say, you know, we want one just because our offense is struggling. You know, we want to develop a young QB, things like that. But we have to look at the entire picture. But yeah, Raheem Morris, Jamal, what you think?
Yeah, no, just to piggyback exactly off of what you just said right there. I'd be the first person to say I'm not biased if I said I really want a offensive minded coach. But if the if it's a defensive minded coach and he's willing to make it shake and get that offensive minded true offensive coordinator or whatever we need, then yeah, yep. Sure. I'm all game for a defensive minded guy to run the table, because like you said, I mean, you can't help but shake whenever you hear Belichick's name get mentioned, because we saw what he's done. Raheem Morris, but going back to, like you said, small stint with the Bucks 2009 to 2011, and then was also the interim head coach for the Falcons in 2020. The only thing that scares me, man, and again, that this is not indicative of an entire career. However, he did go 21-38 over his head coaching tenure. Not every head coach is going to be 500. We all know that, or above 500. But that also scares me a little bit, because I like to think that maybe he feels more comfortable in the coordinator role or a position role more than he does the head coaching spot. So maybe that's more of his style. Again, I think that this could be someone where if you get the right pieces to the puzzle and you let other people kind of assume the responsibility and you still have your hand in the pot as a DC, you know, you could be a defensive play caller. Just because you're the head coach doesn't mean you have to be the offensive play caller. So he could still technically have the role of the head coach, but then share responsibilities with the defensive coordinator. So I don't think that he doesn't scare me a whole lot. His record scares me, but again, I don't know the Bucks lineup from 2009, 2011. I don't know what they were going through. Falcons 2020, typically if you're coming as an interim head coach, you're coming into a bad situation as it is. So it's kind of hard to fault him for that. But
exactly.
On paper though, I don't mind him, especially with that Rams defense from last year, because we can't forget that. And he's been around some good coaches throughout his career, so
he has a lot of experience.
Yeah,
something we're not used to.
Yeah.
Shane Steichen. It could be pronounced Stechen, but we're going to go with Steichen. Eagles offensive coordinator for the last 2 years. Can't argue with the success of the Eagles offense this year, even though the Colts basically shut that down.
Yeah.
Props to Gus Bradley for that and our players. But top 3 scoring offense in the NFL, 28.1 points per game this year. Jalen Hurts having an MVP-type season. Steichen is he's the play caller down in Philadelphia. He picked up those duties this year. He's been doing that for the entirety of the season, and it's paid dividends. Look at them, first round bye. So the Sirianni Steichen combo is great. And then the Eagles are just an all around great team. So we would be pulling him from a great situation. Give him a young QB to work with over the next few years, maximize their strengths in specific schemes. I don't know. Let's go, baby. It sounds good to me. Right, Jamal?
Not going to lie, it does sound good to me as well. I mean, he has a ton of weapons around him in Philly right now. We all know that. But, I mean, when we look at that 28.1 points a game, number 1 seed in the NFL, I mean, that's that speaks volumes. We look at Doug Peterson. I mean, we see it. He left the Eagles with the, you know, stacks when while he was there in his 10 years, pretty much stacked. Then he goes to Jacksonville and he turned the season around. They started off terrible and they turned it around. Should we talk
that game? Oh, man,
you know what's so crazy? I went to bed at halftime and I'm so mad. It was 27-0 and I went ahead and I locked a little bet in there, whatever, bet responsibly. But I locked the bet in there and then I went to bed and I said, well, I guess I probably won't win my money back because I locked the Jaguars spread. And I woke up at midnight and I said, sweet Jesus, what happened? I was so happy, but I was so mad I missed it. So unfortunately, I didn't get to watch that.
Yeah, that was a wow. I knew they were going to come back. They started just pulling away in the second half and third quarter. I was like, yep. Brandon Staley's gonna fumble this game, and he did exactly that. But I mean, you're talking about betting. Let's talk about it real quick.
All right.
Because the NFL playoff picture is locked in, and my go-to place for wildcard round action is DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off the road to Super Bowl 57, new customers can just bet $5. Just need $5, and you get 200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat bet each day of the wild card round this weekend. This weekend. Just place any NFL bet of your choice, and if it loses, you'll get a free bet back up to $10. Action show good. Why bet NFL playoffs anywhere else? I wish we could bet for the Colts, man. I'd be biased. Yeah. I'd be like, we're winning every game. That would be something I really like. But download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code TPPN. New customers can bet $5 on the NFL and get 200 in free bets instantly only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code TPPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. So, yes, Shane Steichen. I can't get that name right. I'm pretty high on him. I don't know if he's pretty high on us. He'd be coming into a rough situation, but it's a head coaching position. That's the most, you know, sought after position in the NFL. I would have to say there's only 32 of them. Again, I'm going to keep saying this after every candidate. Any candidate is better than Jeff Saturday. I don't want to kill Jeff Saturday, but.
Oh, sounds like it.
Well, let's just talk about Jeff Saturday real quick as all a candidate. Right.
Yeah.
You know, went 1-6, 1-7
correct.
In his tenure with the Colts. Had some questionable calls in some games, but then some games we were like, okay, that's fine. You know, he doesn't like to use timeouts, it seems like. He got put in a bad situation. I won't lie, but he was put in there as an interim head coach. It was kind of just like a trial period. And if we went along with my theory, it was to tank the Colts into a nice draft position. So now we need a real head coach to come in with some real experience. Like Jeff Saturday has been a player. He's been a part of a Super Bowl team, but he doesn't have the experience these guys we're talking about have. He just doesn't. And you got to get that experience before you become a real head coach, in my opinion. Plus, if you retain him, make him the head coach, the optics just look really bad for the Colts. It's going to be a bad spot. For imagine him hiring an OC. Like, what is he going to bring to the table and say, this is why I want you here. This is why you should come here. Like, what can Jeff Saturday really say right now?
There are no selling points for him.
Exactly. And it would just be an unattractive spot for plenty of coaches, we're not even just talking about coordinators. There are other positional staffs on there. What happens to our current staff right now when they see him get put back on that same position? Does Reggie Wayne stay on? We could go down a list of scenarios that could happen, but it just looks bad. And especially if the Colts don't perform next year, I mean, Jeff Saturday is going to be the bullseye. He's going to be the scapegoat. And we're just going to go down that same path again. Like, do you trust Jeff Saturday in developing our next QB that we hopefully draft? I don't know. What do you think, Jamal?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And not only so much what you're saying of Will Reggie Wayne want to be there? Will Gus Bradley want to be there? Will Jeff Saturday want to keep them there? I mean, he's already said that, you know, he has a staff in mind that he would want. So what's to say that he wouldn't get rid of all of them? And like you said, I mean, what selling point are you going to use? Hey, I just cleaned. How are we going to make this a good old boys club where he tries to bring back the 06-07 Colts, you know, have them all together coaching again? Like, no, that's not going to work. We all know that. I just don't know I don't know his reasoning or his leg up besides what Ballard said, that he's already been in the building. He knows the system. He's already been working with the team for the past couple of years. But if I recall correctly, didn't he say during his welcome presser that he would basically walk away?
Yes.
If he lost.
If it wasn't for him or like, you know, if it doesn't work out, he will gladly walk away from this.
Yeah.
But I think he's gotten into it and he's like, this is a lucrative job. I want to keep it. I can understand that he's walking back on those words, but I guess if I was in that situation, I'd be doing the same thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think I definitely would as well. I just don't know that if I'm the GM and a Chris Ballard, am I going to allow Jim Irsay to do that? Especially when I know that my head's already on chopping block. I am not in position to, I would do everything in my power to say, we can't make this move. We cannot make this move. So.
But he likes Jeff Saturday.
I know. So weird.
There's rumblings that, because it looks like the next guy we're going to talk about is Ben Johnson, but I just want to give an update on Ben Johnson for you guys who already know about Ben Johnson a little bit, but he's in the lead, supposedly. There's a report. He's in the lead for the Panthers head coaching job. And the Colts might stick with Jeff Saturday as their permanent head coach, according to Jonathan Jones of CBS. So, nothing. Jamal, it's okay. Nothing is firm and true until it actually happens, but the reports are there. Let's talk about Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Previously worked with the Miami Dolphins as a wide receiver coach. I would have to say he's been pretty successful with the Lions, despite how bad their defense has been. Their offense has been rolling at times, 26.6 points per game this season. That's with Jared Goff as their quarterback. I think we all knew how we felt about Jared Goff entering the 2022 season. Even last season, they knew what he was there for. Even the Lions said an elite quarterback isn't necessary for long-term success in the NFL last April before the draft. Dan Campbell said that. I don't really agree with that, and I think he was trying to root for his quarterback he had now, you know, trying to be that leader, but there was still doubt. The point is there was still doubt. You know, Jared Goff could be that long-term answer at quarterback. You know, fast forward to this year, he's got 4,400 yards, 29 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions, and Goff has turned some heads. He's been really good. One of the best seasons of his career, I would have to say. And then, yeah, you look at Ben Johnson. I think he helped unlock Goff's resurgence. He also helped lead that explosive unit to a top 10 offense in the NFL. All in his first year. I see why Colts fans like Ben Johnson. I've seen a lot of Colts Nation say that they would, you know, he's at the top two of their list. I might have to agree with that. I mean, he could provide some innovation to our horrific offense. I think it would be a good hire.
Yeah, you are right about that. I mean, the biggest thing that stands out to me out of all that stuff you said was the offense. I mean, third highest yards per game at 380. That's wild. And I mean, it makes me really want to go back and watch Hard Knocks, because I stopped after like episode one or two. But I mean, clearly, I'm sure he was giving out free knowledge during that. He had to be, because the Lions, we just saw the drastic change. I know they didn't do them in season, but their change, their success just skyrocketed throughout the season. And you know what I like about him a lot too, as well, is, you know, Jamal Williams, what, he had 17 touchdowns this season. He feeds the man. He lets him eat. That's the kind of stuff we need for the JTs. You know, we get a quarterback in here who can drive the ball downfield. Now, I will say that, of course, Jamal Williams did get a lot of freebies, where some games he'll have 50 yards rushing, but two or three touchdowns just because they was feeding him at the 1 yard line. Yeah. But the point is they were able to get the ball downfield, and that's what I like to see. And you give it to the people who can get the job done. You know, you want to reward everybody on the team, obviously. But when you have a powerhouse like JT, I think that a Ben Johnson will fit great in that scenario if we get the right quarterback around, if we get the right players. But, you know, I know you were just talking about nothing is final until it's complete. Can we talk about for just 1 second that CJ Stroud has less than 24 hours to declare if he's going to go to the draft or not? I mean, we have all put our eggs in the basket to how much we wanted CJ, but he technically has not said that he's going to the draft yet.
Yeah, this is actually scary for Colts Nation. I didn't know we were going to get into that yet, but if CJ Stroud opts to stay at Ohio State, we have to almost trade up because we are in the fourth spot. I have to assume the Bears will trade back. With someone needed in a quarterback. So they're going to take Bryce Young, Will Levis, even Anthony Richardson.
Right.
But my point is, we're at number four. There's three top-tier quarterbacks right now. If CJ Stroud stays at Ohio State, we would almost absolutely have to trade up unless we're aiming for a later-round quarterback. And that's if the draft happens today. I think things will change in the coming months, but CJ Stroud staying at Ohio State has severe implications on the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
So we need to keep watch of that. that's actually scaring me. Like but in college, you know, you can make a lot of money now. And
NIL talk big dividends, man.
Yeah. If Pry's the devil and he wants to bring a championship to Ohio State, I could see why he stayed. I mean, even if he got hurt, he's still going to make money. So it's a different world right now. And it's scary for Colts Nation right now.
Yeah.
I will say we can touch on a few other candidates real quick.
Sure.
Just briefly, Bubba Ventrone. You know, I thought he'd be a good interim head coach. What do you think about him, Jamal? Let's
just I really think his is just more so a courtesy interview than anything, to be honest with you. We know that he special team coordinator for us. He's done great for special teams for us. I mean, he's had Vinatieri, he's had Dallas Flowers, he's had Zaire Franklin. I mean, he's had these guys on special teams looking great. How can you fault him? He learned from arguably the greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick, both as a player and a coach. We all know Bill Belichick was a special teams guru when he first came into the league. So why not learn from him? You know, Bubba's definitely made a huge name for himself, both with the Patriots and now with us. And I think that, you know, his time will come for him eventually. I don't think right now is his place. I think that he'll have to be just the perfect time, perfect place for him. But like I said, it's more of a courtesy interview in my personal opinion, but he's proven himself in the special teams game. And I hope that, you know, no one else wants him more than we want because we need him. You know, we need him to stay with us.
Yeah, we keep talking about he's proven himself in the special teams game. That's all fine and dandy, but he has not proven himself on the defensive or offensive side. He doesn't really have any experience on that side of the ball as a coach. So I like where he's at now. I think he needs to make some transitional moves to garner some more experience. You know, I'm just not very high on him to run the Indianapolis Colts coaching staff right now. So I agree with you, Jamal. That's definitely how I feel. A little courtesy interview. Ejiro Evro, defensive coordinator for the Broncos for this year. He's been a secondary coach and passing game coordinator for the Rams when they won the Super Bowl. So he's been in that Super Bowl winning department. He knows what it's like. The Broncos defense has been the shining spot, at least for the season, because you know their offense, Broncos country, let's ride. It's been a rough ride over there. So, defensive coordinator with success. I like it. What about you?
Yeah, I like it too. There's just one big thing that scares me. I mean, he was offered the interim head coaching spot for the Broncos when Nathaniel Hackett was fired, but he declined it. He wanted to stay DC. Oof. So I'm curious to know, is that to keep his name clean or did he just know the team was that bad and he doesn't want to step foot in there? I mean, it's hard. It's hard. I would like to think that if, you know, like you said, such a coveted spot, even if it's an interim job, why not take any opportunity you can get? That kind of scares me a little bit.
It was probably for the last few games. I guess he probably didn't want to dive into that. I'm not sure, but that is a good point to bring up. That is a very good point. Eric Bieniemy. Kansas City's running back coach for about 4 years, and he became the OC in 2018. And he got Patrick Mahomes. You know, I So he's been like, he's been interviewed a lot around the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hasn't gotten that position yet. I don't know why. I think I know why. Yeah, okay. Let me know.
I think I know why. I mean, you can't lie about his numbers. OKC, excuse me. Kansas City's 18, the 2018 season. Chiefs had number one offense for 3 years, and they haven't been lower than number six. So, I mean, they've been booming. But a couple of things I read about him as to why he – there's a potential reason why he hadn't been hired is his relationship with players.
I was going to bring that up, too. I've always seen it just on the sideline. He doesn't – I don't know.
Yeah, they were arguing during the when I was at the Colts and Kansas City game this season. You know, obviously the most frustrating game for Kansas City ever when they were arguing on the field about you know what to do, and of course we had to call it. You know, you have to take that with a grain of salt because in the heat of the moment, players are going to argue, coaches are going to argue, and we know that the coach has a game plan in mind, so it's not so much to banish the player. However, that was a pretty big argument, and that's not the first one where. It looks like he kind of took an authoritative role over a grown man, you know. But I've read positives about him. I read negatives about the situations. We have to remember that everybody's human, and in the heat of the moment, a player is going to want to do what a player thinks is best, even if the coach has something else they want to do. Another thing is his troubled past, man. He's had a troubled past when he was in college as a player, as a coach, and a little bit when he's gotten to the league. I won't go down the full rabbit hole of all of the stuff he's been in trouble for because it is a pretty decent sized rap sheet. but I do think that plays a major role in why he hasn't been picked because you have to, you know, we know how the league is where people have, you know, these scars on their name, the asterisks by their name, they have to stay there. We know that Andy Reid is similar to a Bill Belichick where, even though they have scars and asterisks by their name, they're still willing to give them a chance because they'd like to see the right side in someone. There are not many coaches like A. Reed and B. Belichick who will give players and coaches that opportunity, but we know they will. And I think the reason why he won't make it as the Colts head coach is because the Colts don't want that. Mm. The Colts don't want those people. I've said it for weeks and weeks and weeks and months for you guys that if you have any asterisks by your name, that's a no-go. But I think that I really don't like that because it's such a double standard because we all know Jim Irsay. We all know Jim Irsay's past. He's had a troubled past. So I just don't think it's right to set someone apart. And I'm not saying anything that Benemy did in his past is, you know, without going to speak on because that would just be a lie. But I just don't think it's right for a Jim Irsay to only want goody-goody two-shoes players when we've seen what he's done in his past. It's all on record. You know what I mean? You can't ignore that. You can't ignore that. Of course, you have the whole Kick the Stigma campaign and all this other stuff. That's fine. But we've seen the mugshots. We've read the reports. You know, like this stuff is important to know. So I just think that you can't be two-faced with that kind of stuff. You just really can't.
I have seen the mugshots.
Yeah, exactly.
So just from an offensive, you know, game plan standpoint, you know, Kansas City ain't nothing to play with. I mean, they doing snow globe plays against the Raiders, dancing around them right before and scoring a touchdown.
Wild.
The fuck is this disrespectful? So, it seemed like the players, they were playing around during practice with that, and Andy Reid actually liked it and implemented it in the game. That is, like, I would not be a Raiders fan after that. But anyway, just bringing an offensive-minded coordinator like that on, I do have some reservations about him being able to lead if he's having trouble with just players in general. Like, you don't like to see that. Like, last time I saw that with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, they're chirping on the sideline. Now Cliff Kingsbury ain't got a job. So it's
in Thailand.
Yeah. So it's just not a good look. The precedent for it is you're not successful. You don't see people barking at Andy Reid. You don't see people barking at Bill Belichick. Like there's a respect there. So anyway, all right, I think we covered most of the candidates, if not all, that we've interviewed. I think our latest coaching hire was probably mid-February, so we're about a month away to see who got next up. I didn't want to talk about Jim Harbaugh or Sean Payton because I think Sean Payton's a long shot right now. I think Jim Harbaugh doesn't need an interview to get brought on. That's what I think, but I'm not well versed in that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't want to rank any of these people right now, but I do want to say, like, I don't want Jeff Saturday back, and I explained earlier why, and I stand by that. I want some experience.
Yeah, I agree. I want experience too. I really do. It's just that time. It's just that time. If we're gonna go through all this work of clearing house, doing all those big moves, then we need to do it the right way. It's no more. We don't have time to keep putting cheap parts on an expensive appliance. Like let's get to them. Let's get to the money.
I like that analogy. Well, that's going to be it for us, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Colts Cast today. We are live on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or any platform you use to listen to podcasts. We'll be back next week to give you some more Indianapolis Colts content. Y'all take care.
Take care.